So this message this morning, it actually started out as a teen blast Bible study. That's what it originally was planned to be. Come Tuesday, I decided, no, this is going to be this week's sermon. So so before I really get started here, let's just take just another moment here and pray. God, you are so good. God, we thank you for your word. And God, what a privilege it is to have your word right in our fingertips. And God, I just pray that you will be glorified this morning in this part of the service also, along with all the rest. God, you are deserving of our praise and honor. And God, we want you to be pleased with us. God, as we open your word today, I just pray that you will open our ears and open our hearts to your words, to what you have to say. God, you are an amazing God. There is no one like you. We're excited to see God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Little story. As a boy, I grew up in Apple Country. It was up the Carlisle Road. Lots of you know the Carlisle Road in Douglas there. And there seems to, I drove up there a couple weeks ago. Just kind of remembering when I was a kid, and there's fewer apple trees around there, but there's still lots of apple trees. But when I was a boy there, there was lots of orchards, and we had a little acreage, kind of, I don't know how many acres our property was, but we had a small orchard, and our little orchard was surrounded by bigger orchards. And we had enough apple trees that I remember. As a boy, I remember my dad up late bagging apples for sale in a couple of the grocery stores in town. And I remember even, I thought it was neat that some of our apples were sold to Tim Hortons and those types of things. I remember that. And great place to grow up. not far from my house, actually, just in behind our house. Our house was at one edge of our property, and behind us was this huge barn. It was a huge barn that belonged to a neighbor who also had an apple U-pick, and the barn was kind of a hub of activity for the U-pick. But that barn, it was a great place to play, and in that barn there was a rope swing in the hayloft, and that was a lot of fun. And it was owned by a guy named Mr. O'Connell, and when he would give us permission to play in there, we would play in there. And when he wouldn't give us permission, sometimes we would sneak in. But I'm not saying that. No, we would look forward to his permission to play in that barn. And one of my funnest games that we would play in that barn, and it was huge, it was a big barn, and there was lots of places to go, but one of my funnest games to play in that barn was hide and seek. There'd often be lots of us kids, and we'd have some great games of hide and seek in that barn. And you know, I liked it when I was hiding, but I also liked it when I was it, or the seeker. And our rules are very familiar, and of course, one of the rules was if you're it and counting, no peeking, couldn't peek. And honest, I never cheated. everyone got busy hiding, and the it would have to count very loud and slow, and we always our it always counted to 30 real slow, so it kind of sounded, you know what it sounds like, 1, 2, 3, 4, and all the way up to 30. And then, and you probably all have heard this if you played hide and seek, you've heard, yeah, ready or not, here I come, right? And if you're playing hide and seek, and if you were playing that game, you knew some things for sure. You knew the it was surely coming. And you knew that it was coming when it was ready and not before. And the it was coming whether you were ready or not. And if you were not ready, well, then you would pay the consequences. And you know, those simple rules and those simple facts, to me, that sounds an awful lot like the second coming of Jesus. Jesus Christ is returning. He's promised it, and I believe it. Paul, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he writes to the believers in Thessalonica. I want to read to you just a few verses. We're going to be in chapter 5, probably the first 11 verses, but I'm not going to read them all right now. I want to just read a couple at a time. Listen how the first two verses of chapter 5 go. It says, now concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. This was something that was obvious. They knew, just like we know, that Jesus is coming back. And they thought that it might have been happening really soon. They thought it's going to happen soon. And we also think it might happen soon. I think it might happen really soon, very soon. Funny thing, I don't know if I'm alone in this. I kind of have a warped sense of humor, I think. But I find warning labels and signs really funny sometimes. Just sometimes, like, here's an example. I don't have this written in here, but it just popped into my mind. One of my funniest warning labels I've ever seen. Check this. If you have a wheelbarrow at home, check the tire on your wheelbarrow, because every wheelbarrow I've ever looked at, the tire on your wheelbarrow will have a warning on there. It says, warning, not for highway use. Check it. Yeah. That's one of my favorites. I know, I love that. But here's another one. And I was surprised at this one. One day, I saw a funny sign that I thought told something very obvious. I thought this was pretty obvious, but they thought it needed a sign, so I don't know why. But anyway, I was at a flower shop, and on the desk by the till, there was a sign that says this, and it's very easy to read. It's fairly big lettering, and the sign, it says, the flowers sold here are not for human consumption. And I read that, and that just made me laugh. It made me laugh. And it must have worked, too, because I never ate that bouquet of flowers that I bought for Deb that day. That was quite a while ago. I better go to the flower shop again. Hey, Deb. Anyway, my point is this. Paul was saying, obviously, Jesus is coming back. And we don't know when. And then he compares this event to like an unexpected thief coming in the night. And I kind of can tell. I kind of know what that means, like an unexpected thief. I could imagine what that's going to feel like. Moving on to verse 3. Verse 3 says, when people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them. And suddenly, as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape. I like how Paul uses a lot of word pictures. Helps me picture things too. But there's going to be a lot of people who will think that everything is going to be fine. reality is, it'll be a disaster. A disaster because they won't be ready when Jesus comes back. What a disaster. Because they won't be saved. The sudden destruction of unbelievers, it does not necessarily mean annihilation. I think it's worse than that. Rather, it has the idea of ruin. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. I read this passage and I wondered how much to include here, but I just want to read this one verse. Says they will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from His glorious power. No wonder Paul says it's going to be a disaster. It does sound disastrous for some. Next few verses, verses 4 through 8, say, and this ties in with today, theme, but you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief, for you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night, so be on your guard. Not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. What a powerful few verses that was. And let me tell you a little story that I'm kind of embarrassed about. it was when I was a conservation enforcement officer or a game warden, and I was working up northern New Brunswick. But anyway, I was on a stakeout one time. There was lots of times that I was on stakeouts for trying to catch poachers and stuff. But anyway, on this particular stakeout that I was on, I had a job to do. And my role in this, there was other officers involved in this whole kind of procedure that we were doing to try to catch these guys that we had evidence that they were poaching moose. And anyway, my job was an easy one, but it had potential to be very exciting. So I was positioned along a trail. So there was this trail that we were pretty sure they were using. I just had to stay still and hidden, but I positioned myself right alongside this trail. It wasn't that hidden, because I was sitting, I remember with my back leaned up against a tree, and there the trail was, and I was ready. My plan was when these guys came by, I was going to jump up, and then who knows, then often the fun would begin, but I was going to surprise them and catch them. That was the plan. So anyway, there I was, positioned by this trail, and it was a nice sunny day, I remember, I was there. I was going to try to catch them if they may have used that trail, and I say may have used that trail because I don't know if they did or not, because guess what? I fell asleep. Yeah, I'm embarrassed about that. I fell asleep, and I just had to sit there and wait. Oh, man. And then apprehend them. That was planned. And you know, the last thing I can remember before I fell asleep, I knew I was getting tired, and I saw this little tiny spider on my hand, and I was just kind of watching the spider. And I was amazed because it started making a web between my index finger and my thumb. And I thought, oh good, that'll help me keep awake. And I was just staring at this spider, but then I don't know what happened to the spider because I fell asleep. That's the truth. And so it wasn't enough to keep me awake. And you know, I've always wondered if those poachers came by and saw this sleeping game warden. I don't know. And if they did, they must have just came, saw me asleep, and walked right on by. I don't know. I don't know if that happened or not. But really, that's not a pretty picture. I was not very effective that day. And I was not very alert. And Paul, in those verses there, he's talking about being spiritually asleep. Living like it doesn't matter. Let me read those verses again. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you don't, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Paul also mentions drinkers in this passage. And when he talks about drinkers getting drunk, I picture someone drunk and completely oblivious to everything going on. And maybe even passed out drunk. That's the picture I get when I read this. And he compares some people to that. Verse 8 again. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Christians are not asleep. We are not passed out or oblivious to everything going on. We are ready. We are clear-headed. You know, I sometimes feel guilty or maybe a little bit selfish for wanting Jesus to come back, like, right now. I often think, wouldn't it be great if Jesus came back right now or tomorrow or soon. Like, please come back. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't feel that way, but I can't help it. Then I think to myself, if I love God more than anything, no wonder I want him to come back. And then I don't feel so guilty anymore for wanting that and feeling that way. Because we can look forward to Christ's return because we are saved. Verses 9 through 11. It says, for God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. I think that's a lovely picture of the church and the fellowship and worship that it has. We're to keep encouraging each other and building each other up as we wait, as we're ready. And Christians, I want you to wake up as many people as you can. I think time's running out. People need to be ready. You know, that's the point of the gospel tent meetings that we're getting ready and we're so excited for. This is an opportunity to help people get ready. Let me close with this. Jesus Christ is surely coming. Jesus Christ is coming when He is ready and not before. Jesus Christ is coming whether you are ready or not. And if you are not ready, then you will pay the consequences. 28, 29, 30. Ready or not, here He comes. Wow, let's pray. God, You're an amazing God. You've made so many promises and have kept every one of them. I have no reason to doubt this passage and this scripture that we just read this morning. God, it is something to look forward to. Help us put this into practice in our lives. We want to be ready and excited. And God, help us, help Cornerstone Bible Church wake up as many people as we can before You come. God, bless us as we work and serve You in this way. And God, You are God, and we know that. You are worthy of our praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what's good.